Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. We'll read verses 20 through 28 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 20 through 28. I am going to start with verse 11, and then you'll join me on verse 20 through 28, and we'll read that portion responsively. 1 Samuel chapter 1, I'll read verse 11, and we'll skip down to verse 20 together. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now join me in verse 20. Ready? Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode, and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. And let's pray. Father, thank you for what you do for us here. Thank you that it's obvious that your Holy Spirit is here already. Father, in just a few moments, our preacher will preach to us. Father, not just our generation needs reached. Our children and our grandchildren's generation needs reached. Father, for many, many years to come, I wonder what could be done today if we could reach parents who would raise their children right. I wonder how we could spare America and this world. Please, fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Today, we are turning our attention to our children. For those of you that you say, well, my children are grown, I think, though, if you'll listen, I'll remind you that if we brought a child into this life, there's always a certain amount of responsibility that we'll carry for the rest of their lives and the rest of our lives. Understand something. Our children are our future. Our children, the future, they're the future of our church. Our children are the future of our nation. Our children are the future of this world. It's something that I think we ought to take seriously. I called my sermon this morning, Themselves, Yourself, or God. Themselves, Yourself, or God. Hannah and Elkanah wanted a child. This was a husband and wife. Hannah begins to beg God that God would give her a boy, a little boy, a boy child. It says in 1 Samuel 1:11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. I'm sure that Hannah grew up like many other little girls. Hannah grew up with a desire to be a mama someday. She probably played with dolls and played house. She played mama. Maybe she put on Mama's dresses and put on Mama's shoes, and she got out some of Mama's pots and pans, and she played house, and she acted like she was cooking meals. And God put that, that's a natural desire. God put that into ladies. It's a very, very natural thing. So Hannah grew up. Hannah wanted to have a baby. And Hannah said, God, please give me a baby. In verse 11, she also tells God that if He gives her a child, it says that she will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. She said, Lord, if you'll give me a baby, I'm going to give that baby back to you. I want to be a mama. I want to raise a baby. But God, if you give me a child, I'm going to give that child back to you. She promised to dedicate that child to the Lord. She promised to raise that child for God. In verse 20, it tells us that God did give her a child. All children are given to us by God. Every person in this house, if it has been your privilege to have a child come into your home, what a precious gift. God gave you a child. That child was a gift from God, and it ought to be treated as a gift from God. Don't forget who gave you your children. When Hannah and Elkanah received this child, they named him Samuel. She took him to church, this little one. Took Samuel to church. And she was reminded of her promise. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, it says, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord for this child. I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. I wonder how many ladies at one time or another in their life actually asked God for a baby. Or when they were expecting their baby, they prayed that everything would go well, and that baby meant so much to them. Then she, after being reminded of her promise, gives that baby back to God. In 1 Samuel 1:28 it says, therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. See, she wanted a baby. God gave her a baby. She went back and said, God, I told you I was going to rear that baby for you, and here I am. If I had time, I could tell you the whole story. I cannot this morning. In this case, she named him Samuel. She actually took Samuel down to the church house, if you will, and Samuel, he lived there. He was being raised there. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, it says, and she said, let thine handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her, and she had made this promise to God. God fulfilled the promise, and what a wonderful thing. Now, here's the thing about this. This woman meant business about her child. A child was not a plaything to her. A child was not just some experience of life that you just had to have. It wasn't like going to the Rocky Mountains because you just have to see it. No, she meant business. She knew that this was a life. She knew that this was a gift from God. She knew that that child needed to be reared in a very special way. She meant business about this thing of having a child. She dedicated her child to the Lord. It was not some dead ritualistic type of a thing. She meant it. She meant it. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We're never going to rear good kids unless we mean it. You have to mean it. Rearing children is not a part-time job. It's a full-time job. It's not a game. It's not a toy. It's not something you play with. If you're not going to rear your child for the Lord, then don't go get pregnant. What a mess. What a mess we can make of a child's life because we don't care enough to take seriously the life of that child. This baby dedication that Hannah and Elkanah had was a special thing. They meant business about it. Samuel, this child, boy, he was reared in the church. And he became a great, great young man. Samuel became a great success in life. And our children will not become a success for the Lord unless we rear them to be a success for the Lord. In all of his life, if you study the whole story of Samuel in all of his life, you don't see a major time of backsliding in his life. Now, if you study the story of the Apostle Paul, he had a time of backsliding, but Samuel did not. You look at the life of David, and David was a great man, but David had a time of backsliding. But Samuel, we didn't see a major backsliding in his life. You look at the story of Moses. Moses was a great man, but Moses, he had a time when he got away from the Lord. From all indication in the Scripture, Samuel did not experience that. You look at the story of Peter. Peter got away from the Lord for a while, but Samuel did not. You say, Brother Owens, to what would you attribute that? Well, I think one thing that had something to do with it is from the very moment that this husband and wife had a desire to have a child, they'd already decided, we're going to rear our child for the Lord. We've decided that that's the way it's going to be. That's how we want it. It's planned out. This is the way we want it to be. That has something to do with the fact that Samuel became such a great man. Samuel was a prophet or a preacher. Samuel became a judge. Samuel was a priest in the temple. Now, he never became king because God would not allow a priest to be a king or a king a priest. There were four major positions in life that you could serve in this era of time. It was prophet, judge, priest, and king. And Samuel rose to the heights of being three of four, and nobody could be four of four. So this fella had it all together. And you say, why, Brother Owens? What was special about him? Probably his mom and dad.
Yes, sir.
What was unique about Samuel? His mom and dad. Samuel rose up to be a great leader of leaders. Many a child in history has been named Samuel in his honor. He made many proud. Samuel made mom proud, and Samuel made dad proud. Samuel made his friends proud, and Samuel made the Lord proud. But he had a good start because he had a mom and dad that meant business about being parents. It was not a game to them. You see, there comes a point when you put away the toy dishes and the toy lawnmowers and you stop playing mom and dad and you become a full-fledged, serious-minded, committed, dedicated mom and dad that are out to rear kids that will bring honor to God. And we stop playing house. And it becomes real. Day by day, from the time we wake up in the morning till they lay their little heads on the pillows at night, we give ourselves to rearing them. They had no choice about coming into this life. You chose it. Now, they deserve to be reared properly so they will honor God with their life. That's what they deserve. God wants your children to be a success in life. In Psalm 127, verse 3 and 4, it says, Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. The Bible here says they're a heritage of the Lord. I'll put it this way. Your children are virtually an inheritance that God gives you. But let me ask you, what will you do with your inheritance? I've watched many people inherit some money and waste it. Waste it. May I recommend to you, if you have inherited the privilege of being a mom or a dad, if you've inherited the privilege of having a family, that you wisely invest your children into the market of God. And you let God use your children. You see, they're an inheritance. That's what children are. Now, we are today, in a little while, we're going to have a dedication of some of our children. The dedication of a child is right. Every parent should dedicate their child to the Lord. He's the one that gave it to them. Now, you know something? A baby dedication is really not all about the children.
Yes, sir.
I want to have my baby dedicated today. I'm glad you came, Mom, because it's really not all about your child. We came because we were going to get our baby one of those New Testaments. And some dad said, I want to be here for the dedication of my baby. Dad, it's really all about you. Mom, it's not really all about that little 6-month-old baby you're going to bring up here. baby dedication is not about a baby. It's about mom and dad. That's what it's really all about. Parents are actually the ones that need dedicated. So if you bring your little one up here at the end of the service today, that little one is going to have very little to do with its true dedication. Most of it's going to have to do with what mom and dad are dedicated to. Babies, we're not going to have a christening. I said this earlier. It's a baby dedication day. We're not going to have a christening. That's not found in the Bible. We're not going to have baby baptism. That's not found in the Bible. You can go from Genesis through the book of Revelation, study it all you want. You won't find it there. I've said this already. Babies don't get saved until they understand the difference between right and wrong. It is not an age of accountability. That's not what the Bible says. It's a time of accountability. That means when a child becomes accountable for the knowledge of the difference between right and wrong, at that point then they know they're a sinner. They're going to need a Savior. And the moment they're old enough to understand the gospel, then that child will give answer for their own soul to the God of the universe and the Savior Jesus Christ. When they're old enough or intelligent enough to understand the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and can trust Him, that's when they get saved. So you don't baptize a baby because baptism comes after salvation, and a child does not get saved until they understand salvation, sinner, heaven, hell, and Jesus Christ. But, listen to this, you better keep your kids in church. You say, at what age will my child understand right and wrong? I don't know. But the very Sunday that your child is old enough to understand right from wrong in Jesus Christ, you better have them in church that day. Why? So that day they can trust Jesus Christ. Don't take one moment's chance with that precious little soul. Dedicate. Dedicate, mom and dad. Dedicate. You know something? Even some of you, you have children that are not living at home anymore. They've grown up. If I were you, I'd go ahead and dedicate myself to do what I can to help those children serve the Lord with what life they have left. In your heart, there's some people in here that need to say, you know something, Brother Owens? I have some children out there. Maybe they're 19, 20, 21 years old, or 30 or 40. You say, I have children out there, and I never did dedicate them to the Lord. There's some of you that ought to go ahead and say, I will dedicate what I can of the rest of my life to help my children meet the Lord and do what they ought to with their life. You know, it's really never too late to influence a child for right. I'll read something to you. Some of you, the senior citizens, might get a kick out of this. Once there was a woman who had a baby at age 85. The neighbor lady across the street was thrilled to see the baby, and Mama returned home from the hospital in perfect health. Later, the lady ventured across the street to ask to see the newborn babe. She knocked on the door and heard the new Mama call out, "Come on in, it's open." So she went in. She asked the 85-year-old new mama if she could see the baby, and the older woman replied, "You can see him in a minute. The baby's sleeping." So they proceeded to have some tea and cookies. Later, the younger lady looked at her watch and realized time had gotten away from them. So she asked again, "Can I see the new baby?" This time, the older woman seemed to be a little annoyed. Finally, the younger woman said, "I really don't understand why you will not let me see the baby. It's been 3 hours, and I'm still waiting to see your baby." With that, the 85-year-old new mama replied, "I know you've been here for quite some time, and I have showed remarkable patience with you and you with me. The truth is, I keep hoping the baby will wake up and start crying so I can remember where I put it." It's not too late. It's not too late to decide you want to influence your kids for the Lord. Every child that's ever been born deserves to have parents that are dedicated to helping that child turn out right for God. Some of you need to dedicate even your grown kids. Hey, we're going to, in a little while, we'll dedicate the little ones. But some of you, as you sat in your seat and you watched the dedication of some little ones under the age of 3, some of you in your heart ought to say, Lord, my kids are older than that. But with what influence I have left in their life, I will dedicate myself to do all I can to helping them to see Jesus in me and want to live their life for God. You tell God, I'm going to use what influence is left and I'll try to make an impact on their life. You say, Brother Owens, I didn't raise my kids to love the Lord and now they're grown. You'd be a good example to them and you love them and you decide that you're not finished yet. Oh, you're not going to control their life. You're not going to do that. If they're grown and out on their own, you can't make them do anything. They're going to choose to do what they want to do. But you could dedicate yourself in prayer. You could dedicate yourself to be a good example. You could very kindly and politely get them into church when you can and decide, I want to influence my children for the Lord. No, not everybody had the privilege of the experience of Hannah. Not everybody knew when that baby was even yet unborn that it ought to be dedicated to God in the mind and heart of a Hannah. But you say, Brother Owens, I didn't have that chance, but you're still alive, and if your kids are still out there somewhere alive, don't give up on your kids. You keep on loving them. You keep on praying for them. You keep on believing that maybe one day they'll come in the back door of the church house and get right with God and experience revival. It could still happen. You say, but Brother Owens, you don't know what my kids are like. Well, let me tell you something. You don't know what my God's like. My God is so big. He's so strong. He's so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. And if a bunch of moms and dads would dedicate themselves and say, I am going to do all I can to get my children into church, all I can to influence them. They're out of church and away from God, but I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep on doing right. Let me ask you, for who will you raise your children? For who? Will you raise them for yourself? See, the Bible says in Psalm 89, verse 30 through 32, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Here the Bible says if our children forsake the law of the Lord, then they're going to be disciplined by God. You don't do your children a favor by raising them for you. Who are you raising your kids for? Yourself? Is that what it's all about to you? You? The thrill that you get out of having children? Are you still playing house? You're gonna turn your kids into what you always dreamed of being but did not accomplish, right?
Good.
You always wanted to be a big-time athlete, but you didn't make it. So rather than being interested in what the will of God is for your child, you're interested in what your will would have been for you. But since you didn't get it, you're going to make sure your child, you live out your own personal dreams through them. You're not going to raise your kids for yourself. That's stingy. So you want your kids to be rich. Because you always dreamed of being rich, and you're not. So your real dream is not for the good of your child, it is for you. You're going to live out your failed dreams through their life. I wonder how many times a young lady will go to plan a wedding and you can't get her mother to take her nose out of a young lady's wedding. You want to know why? Mama wants to have her wedding in her daughter's presence and her daughter wearing the white dress. I've married a lot of people. I often have to say to a bride-to-be, you have to be careful. Your mom's going to want to take this over. Because she has all of what she always wanted. Well, you know something? That's your daughter's wedding, not yours. You know what we so many times will do? We will launch out to get what we want out of our kids. We are rearing them for our own gratification. I wonder how many women they virtually want their daughters to be sexy. Why? Because mama always wanted to be a sex symbol but didn't quite make it, so they'll let their daughters be cheap.
I wonder how many of us are bitter with life because we felt cheated. So I want my kids to have everything I didn't have. And you don't want them to have it because you want them to have it. You want them to have it because you didn't get it and you're bitter with life about it. It's all about me. My, mine, I. Dads want to be dads, so they get the thrill of being a dad. Moms want to be moms, so they get the thrill of being a mom. Hey, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be a mom and dad, but let me tell you something. You're not supposed to rear your kids for yourself. It's not all about you. It's not all about you. Stingy people don't make good parents. Couples say, I want the American dream. You ought to be dreaming God's dream for your child. No child will ever be happy unless they're in the will of God. We want to rear our kids for ourselves. Or do you want to rear your children for themselves? Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Here the Bible is saying, you're not supposed to let your children do what they want to do. We do what God wants us to do. And that's how a child is to be reared. Why? No child will ever be happy unless they do what God wants them to do. The reason why some of you in this building today are miserable is because you are not what God wants you to be. If you just get in the will of God and be what God wants you to be, you could be happy. Your children need to be reared to be what God wants them to be. Not what they want to be, not what you want them to be. You're not to rear them for yourself and you're not to rear them for themselves. You know, parents who live for themselves usually reproduce that stinginess in their children. They often will become like us. Listen to this. After we painted my 15-year-old son's bedroom, he rearranged his furniture. He put his weight bench in a corner and all the weights and the bars in his closet. He explained that he would have put even the bench in the closet if he had had room for it. He said, I'm now an adult, Mom, because I have exercise equipment I'm not going to use. Our kids become like us. You wanted to rear them for you, and they get the idea it's all about self. You say to your kids, it's your life. Live it the way you want. Wrong, Mother. Wrong, Daddy. It's God's life. He gave them life. You say, well, I'm their father. You really think it was all about you when you fathered that child? You had no baby unless God chose it. You think you're going to take God's place in that child's life and you were the creator? Dad, you're not big enough to create life without God's intervention. Baby was a result of the God of the universe. But we get so stingy. Oh, we'll tell them, live your life for yourself. We tell them, get all you can and can all you get instead of give. We teach them, take, 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 take. It's a dog-eat-dog world. Take, take, take. That is not what the Bible says. We'll rear our kids for themselves. If we're stingy, we'll teach them to be stingy. Love yourself instead of love others. Do what you want instead of what God wants. Go where you want instead of where God wants. If you don't spoil yourself, nobody else will. The Bible teaches we're to serve others. You see, who are we going to rear our kids for? Ourselves? Themselves? Just go ahead and tell your child that worldly philosophy of decide for yourself what's right and wrong. Oh no, the Bible already tells us what's right and wrong. Use your own judgment. No, they're to use God's judgment. So we're going to rear them for ourselves? Are we going to rear them for themselves? We're supposed to rear them for God. Are we going to rear them for this life or the next life? How are you rearing your children? For this life? Or the next life. Let's see, which one's the longest? I think the average age span is 70, 75 years old for a human being in this life. And let's see, how long is the next one? All eternity. all eternity. James 4:14 says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We say to our kids, live it up! You only live once! Liar!
Right.
Liar! You only live once! That is not true! You will live twice! You will live in this life and you'll live in the next life. And when you spend your time convincing a child that they only have one life, that's not true.
Because they're going to live somewhere for all eternity.
Buy things. It will make you happy. Is that right? Things make you happy?
Happiness is not in what you own. It's in who owns you.
Happiness is not in what you have. It's in who has you. Happiness is not all about things.
It's all about you and God. You could have nothing but Him and be the happiest person on the face of the earth. You could have everything but Him and be miserable. And some of you are.
You got a nice car and a nice house. You and your wife can't get along. There's hatefulness in your house. You're always on the brink of divorce. Always in a mess. But you have everything, don't you?
Stop fooling yourself. Contentment is not in what you have. Contentment is found in what you are. What you are. We live like there's no God. I need everyone to sit still, please. This is very serious. We're not at the movie theater getting popcorn, walking in and out and getting a soda every once in a while. This is big business. God's dealing with somebody's life. I'm not trying to be unkind, but we just get up and walk out anytime we want and come back in. I think I'll try that. Sorry about that. We're going to go get me some popcorn.
We live like there's no God. We live like there's no heaven. We live like there's no afterlife. We live like there's no Bible. We live like there's no hell. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. No, it's not you may die. You will die. And the moment you do, you'll realize that the way that we wasted ourselves in this life to live it up, ignoring the next life, we'll be sorry. How are we going to rear our kids? For this life? Or the next life? Matthew 6:19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. You know something? We ought to teach our children they will face God someday. Y'all know that. There'll be somebody that will not come back to this church again because what I'm about to say. You will face God someday. I don't like that. You will face God someday. Every one of us. You'll face Him. For every time you turn your nose up at the Word of God, you'll face Him. You'll face Him. We need the fear of God put back in our children. And the reason there's no fear of God in your child is they've not seen the fear of God in your life. If you fear God, you would serve Him. If you fear God, you would do right with your life. If you fear God, you'd stop playing church and get real. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Hey, how will you rear your child? For yourself? For themselves? For this life? For the next life? You better teach them. They can have treasures in heaven. So you better teach them to tithe. You better teach them to serve others and stop serving themselves in this life. You better teach them to win others to Jesus Christ because that's a treasure you can send ahead. You better teach them to be good to people. Though this is a dog-eat-dog world, we're not canines. We're human beings created by the Master Creator. You say, well, that's what everybody else in the world does. We're not like this world. We're peculiar people. You better teach them about salvation. You're going to raise them for yourself? You're going to raise them for themselves? You're going to raise them for this life? You're going to raise them for the next life? You're going to raise them for the devil? You know, did you know something? God has a plan for your child's life. The devil does too. Now, which plan are you following? You're going to follow one or the other. What's your plan? To every parent in here, I said, come up here and tell me your plan for what you're doing with your kids. What are you rearing them to be? Is it God's plan? And all the other plans are outside of God's plan. And guess who's happy about that? The devil. Because he wants anything but God's plan in your child's life. If it's your plan, if it's the devil's plan, if it's dad's plan, or mom's plan, or grandpa's plan, or grandma's plan, or United States government's plan, or a communist plan, he does not care as long as it is not God's plan. Whose plan you use them? God's or everybody else's? And the devil says, pick anyone you want, but don't pick God's plan for your children. Why? The devil knows that's what is best for your child. Isaiah 1:4 says, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backward. It says in Isaiah 57, verse 4 and 5, against whom do ye sport yourselves? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are ye not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys, under the cliffs of the rocks? We're slaying our children. We're destroying our children today. Why? We'll rear them for us. We'll rear them for themselves. We'll do anything but rear them for God. We'll rear them for this life, but not the next life. We'll tell them to do what they want, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die, because we don't want to take the responsibility of rearing them. I'll tell you why. Can I tell you why we don't make our children clean their plates? Because you don't want to clean your plate. We won't make our children live pure, and I'll tell you why. You don't want to live pure. You won't rear your children for the Lord like you ought, and I'll tell you why. Because you know it would take example, and you're not willing to pay the price. You know one of the toughest things about our church services? It's a thing called reality. Reality. You like reality TV? You're at reality church. Reality is spooky, isn't it? This whole world is so far removed from reality, it scares us. Let them do what they want. Just ignore God. Let them do what they want. Don't bring them to church. Don't raise them for God. We're losing our children to the devil. We're losing our children to the devil. You're going to rear them for yourself, themselves, for this life, the next life? For the devil? Maybe you should rear them for God. Not just telling them that He exists. Not just at Christmas you say, oh yeah. Or at Easter, oh yeah. Every day. A child rearing that changes your life. I wonder how many people put their children in Martinsburg Christian Academy hoping that those of us who have had our lives changed will become the role model for your child, when the ultimate life that your child needs to see changed is yours, Dad. Yours, Mom. I can hide them in that Christian school and somebody else can rear my kids for me. Well, you're wrong, Mom and Dad. It's your job to rear your kids for the Lord. It's your job. You say, I don't know how. Well, show up for church and we'll teach you how. Wow. That's the price, right? Because you've got too many things that you want to do with your life. You've got dreams. They're not God's dreams. They're your dreams. You've got visions for yourself. Teach your kids to live by the book. Which book? The old black book. Right here, King James Bible. Teach your children to make decisions by the book, and attend church, and attend church faithfully, and to love God, and to pray, and to put nothing before Him, and teach your children not to have children if they're not going to rear them for the Lord. If they're a plaything or a toy, like we play with Tonka trucks, just leave them in the package. But don't birth a child if you're going to turn your back on them and go live your life and just hope they turn out right. If you're going to have good kids, you're going to rear them on purpose. Or some of you, you know, let me tell you one good reason why you got to fix your marriage. For your kids' sake. For your kids' sake.
so they can learn how to have a good marriage. You owe it to them. And for some reason, you have a marriage in the past that has fallen upon the rocks of heartache. I'm sorry for you. I love you and I'm your friend and you're welcome here. I don't want to hurt you, but let me tell you something. Just so you know, God's original intent. It was that a man and a woman got married and reared kids. And they stayed married.
Amen.
And I realize not everybody, it doesn't always turn out exactly like that. But surely you wouldn't argue with me. Isn't that what God planned? It's not my plan. Don't get mad at me. And if you get mad about that, you can take it up with God. See, you're not going to change Him. But that's what He planned.
My husband, he's contrary. My wife, she's contrary.
All right, then show your children how to live through contrary times and keep it together and stick it out. They may have contrary times someday. What is it?
Hannah said, Lord, you give me a baby, I'm giving him back to you.
I know where he came from and I'll rear him for you. And she reared him in the church. From all I can tell, it was not just at Christmas and Easter. She did not send him. She was there with him. You know what? Everybody here would really like to have children that successfully serve the Lord. Now, once they grow up, they can do what they want. We know that. But you got a far better chance if you rear them on purpose. You rear them according to the book. You rear them in the church. You get yourself right with God. You're not a phony Christian. You know, you act religious on church days, but live like the world the rest of the time. Your kids see right through that stuff. They see right through it. You're just teaching them to be phony Christians. I'm going to tell you, they may go out and do wrong after you've done everything you can to rear them right, because they're going to choose what they want to do. But I'll tell you something. None of my kids will ever point a finger at me and say, you didn't try to rear us right, Dad. If I get a kid that ends up in prison someday, it won't be because Daddy didn't teach him. It won't be because they were not brought to church. It won't be because we were drinking and carousing in our household. It won't be. It'll be because they chose it. They chose to turn their back on God. They can't say, Dad, you never taught me. I sat at a table this week. My mother-in-law passed away, sat at a table with her family, and I said, I have sunk my life into rearing my kids. My family was the most important thing on the face of this earth while I was rearing my kids. And I hope that we will dedicate ourselves to dedicating our children to the Lord. Because baby dedication day is not all about the six-month-olds. It's all about those that brought them into this life. We don't have long to influence. We better use all the influence we can as fast as we can. Because, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. They're an inheritance. You're going to invest your inheritance right, or you're going to waste it. If you're here today and you're not saved, you got to get saved. As a mom and dad, the best thing you can do is get saved, get the Holy Spirit of God living inside you. He can help you with your kids. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head.